Welcome to episode 307 of Fly Away. Here at Outlander Travel, we're passionate about, well, travel. Throughout the years, we've seen many changes to the industry, but one thing that has stayed the same is the urge to explore our world and make the connections that can only be made through experience. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, Donna, and George. It's not in our nature to stay in one place, so when Universal Resort in Orlando opened back up with new COVID-19 requirements, you know that a couple of Outlander agents were anxious to check it out. Donna and her family visited this summer, and this week we're excited to welcome back fellow Outlander travel agent Anna, who was there over Labor Day weekend with her family. They are here to tell us what to expect with the new rules, what it was like, and what they hope sticks around after COVID leaves. So let's get started. So first of all, let's talk about the precautions that you took before you went, because obviously we don't just go charging into the dark night. We actually plan ahead. So Donna, let's start with you. What kind of precautions did you take before you went?
Both of my kids had 2 to 3 masks each, so that if one got really nasty or it got covered in chlorine because we wore them at the water park, we could take them back and wash them, make sure they had a day to dry. You know, that was one thing. I bought everybody had hand sanitizer that they took with them. Of course, we didn't even need it because it was all over the parks. And, you know, we also made sure that everybody had water. So, which, you know, at any theme park, you want to make sure that you have plenty of water to keep stay hydrated.
And you were there in August, right? So it was
yes,
not chilly.
Yes, the beginning of August. Okay. Yeah, it was kind of miserable hot. Yeah, yeah.
So Anna, anything different for you?
No, we did the same. We took plenty of face masks and hand sanitizer, but like Donna said, it was readily available everywhere. I feel like that was really about all we could do.
They have stations.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Did they have hand sanitizer stations at the beginning and at the end of the rides? Because that's what I was reading about, and I just wanted to kind of clarify that.
Yes. Well, yes. When you board the ride, there's an employee standing there. You're not allowed to get on the ride unless they squirt hand sanitizer in your hand prior to getting on. Mm-hmm. And then they have them scattered throughout as you exit all the rides.
Okay.
Scattered.
But then everywhere, if you went to a food destination, then you had to, again, use. It was more beginning than the end.
Yes. Okay. They don't really care once you leave. Just be safe.
So I want to talk a little bit about masks just to see what you chose, because I am doing some research because I'm about to go to one of the theme parks, not Universal, just a different one. You may have heard of it. And did you take fabric masks? Did you take paper one, you know, the surgical masks? Which kind of masks did you take with you?
I don't like the surgical ones personally. We took some that were like a cotton kind of. They were okay. They weren't super breathable. We have some that were, they're not exactly cotton, but they're a very thin material because we were there in September. So like Donna said, it was miserable hot. I felt like the thinner, the better. I don't know if that's necessarily as protective, but.
That's fair.
Well, for us, we had fabric masks for the three of us. My husband actually prefers the surgical ones. So that's what we took. But while we were, Lindsay and I were in Jamaica, the guide that was there, Garfield, which we talked about many times, had one that actually had dual filters. And I asked him about it, and he said that it was so much easier to breathe, even though it was thicker and had the filters and all, because it was two-way.
But
so I've considered buying one of those myself.
It's important to note a lot of places are banning the ones with the filters now, because there's no guarantee people are putting the filters in them. And so it could be, just to note that some places have banned them because they're not as safe for everyone else, which is the whole purpose of wearing the mask. But I don't know. Well, I like in the heat, I like the paper mask or the cotton ones. But I do think like that the main point to drive home is to have a variety, because I got my mask wet one day and I was miserable.
Yeah, did you guys find yourselves changing your masks halfway through the day? Like you said, you brought multiple masks per person. So did you wear one mask all day long, or did you change?
All day.
So there were stations that you could go to also to kind of just that were picnic tables and everything that were equally spaced, and you could actually take off your mask for a little while just so you could breathe.
Were they selling them there as well? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming Universal was selling them.
Oh, everywhere.
Yes.
I'm sure there were some really cool ones too.
They had some really cool ones. My husband wore the gator. That's his.
That's what I was going to ask. So I don't think you're allowed at Disney to wear the gator.
No, you can't wear the gator.
You are Universal, and they are very specific that at Universal you can wear the gator, but it can't be one that ties like a handkerchief style. It has to be all one piece. They were very specific about that because my husband asked them upon arriving at the resort what the guidelines were because he had both types of masks, just in case.
And there were several people that we saw actually where they were not wearing it above their nose. And as people were walking by, Universal officials said, fix your mask. Mm-hmm. So they were very adamant that it has to cover both your nose and your mouth.
So I know this was a big controversy at another theme park about walking around and eating and having the mask off, where it was Universal, they had the same rule where you stay in one place while you're eating and consuming beverages.
Yes.
This is why we can't have nice things, people.
That's why I'm bringing it up.
People get kind of fussed at for walking around with a drink in their hand with their mask pulled down. An employee would say, mask up. You need to...
Although, truthfully, I don't know why anybody wants to walk around and eat or drink anything, because you kind of enjoy it. You want to sit in one place.
It's weird because I'm the sort of person that would carry a soda with me around normally, but at a theme park, I never want to carry it around. Like, I finish lunch.
It's getting hot.
I don't want to carry it. And I don't want to carry it.
Like, drink hot
soda. I don't
want to
carry it. I don't want to, I don't want to go anywhere with it.
Well, one of the things I also noticed is that most of the benches are gone. So if you were going to be, you couldn't really just sit on a bench and actually drink a soda or have a pumpkin juice or, eat something.
I wonder what the reasoning is with that. Do they not want people gathering?
Is that for social distancing? Did they remove them so that they were far apart?
I think it's because people would have to take their masks off in order to consume anything.
They don't want you sitting there and taking your mask off in a walkway area.
Interesting.
That's what it is. Okay. That makes a lot more sense. I mean, I think I've seen in the chat rooms about Disney removing some benches and stuff too. Sorry, George.
It's not like Disney's sponsoring this way.
I was being a little bit facetious when I said it before. So how did you guys go down? Did you fly or did you drive?
We drove.
Okay.
We flew.
All right, so Donna, how was your flying experience? I'm especially interested in Orlando Airport, where you sort of crowd into a little monorail to get over to the other, to the main terminal.
Well, we were on Southwest, so as of through, I believe it's September 30th, they're still leaving the middle seats open. And so the planes aren't nearly as full. So there weren't many people actually traveling. So the monorail trains actually weren't that busy, but everybody was wearing masks, even if you had to get a little closer. You had to remove it, of course, when you went through security, because they needed to make sure that you are who you say you are. But we even had to stay in the hotel there, but all the restaurants were closed, except for McDonald's and Chick-fil-A.
You said you had to stay in the airport at the hotel?
Yeah, the flight that we were taking, we got stuck on the tarmac and there was a huge electrical storm and they wouldn't let us take off. So we missed our connection. They let us come off and we ended up staying at the hotel right there at the airport. But all the restaurants were closed. So there was no point in actually hanging around all the stores, the Disney store, the Universal store, the SeaWorld store. All those stores were closed. So there's no reason to hang out at the airport.
Well, that's probably good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good to hear. So I'm flying Delta this month. I'm flying Southwest next month when they're not going to hold the middle seat anymore, but we'll see how that goes. So, because this podcast is all about me. So let's talk about where you stayed at the Universal parks. Did both of you, I know Anna stayed on property. Did you stay on property as well? Donna?
The Royal Pacific.
Okay, you both stayed in the same place. So how did you find that? How did you find the hotel experience? Because I think that's something that a lot of travelers are nervous about. Is it clean? You know, did they change the sheets before the person before me? How did you feel about it?
I thought they did a fantastic job. Now, of course, they're not offering any room service right now.
By room service, do you mean housekeeping or
housekeeping? Yes, thank okay. you. Yes, housekeeping. Thank you. Yes, when you arrive, they give you a card with a phone number on it that you can text anytime. They will, if you need toiletries, toilet paper, fresh towels. They will not bring it inside your room. They would hang it outside your door, or they'll just leave a nice little folded stack of towels outside your door.
I prefer that anyway, to be honest. I'm one of those people. I would rather have that. I don't want you in my room.
I do love that freshly made bed and like hotels with turndown service. I do really love that, but I think you're right.
I miss coming back at the end of the day and having a nice, clean, crisp bed and trash taken out and I did kind of miss that, but.
And we had four people in the room, so we missed dry towels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so did either of you use the text service? Where, I mean, I guess if you saw how they left the towels and things, Anna, you must have used it.
I used them several times because
I just called down.
Yeah.
I texted when we needed. I actually texted three different times, toiletries, toilet paper, and towels. We were there for four nights, so we used our towels twice and then asked for new towels. And
so they didn't automatically just give you like a new set of towels every day or anything?
No, you had to ask for them.
They don't come into your room at all, correct?
Correct.
Like while you're there, they do not come in at all. So
right, and they actually knocked on the door to bring us some toiletries, and the person acted a little surprised. Like they didn't even want to get near us. Almost, they just kind of pointed and said, "It's hanging on the door," and walked away. And I said, "Okay, thank you."
So, they don't know where you've been, Anna.
Oh yeah, they don't.
So I have to say a big shout out to Universal because they're even before this started, they were on it with their text service. Because last year when we were there for convention, my key got demagnetized somehow or didn't work in the door. And just using that service, they were up in like a second to bring me my stuff. So
yeah, I really liked it. It was really nice.
I had a good system in place before.
It got demagnetized somehow, but she put it next to her phone, and then she put it next to her credit card.
I don't think I did that. Somehow it just wasn't working. We're just going to go with it wasn't working properly, and they handled it very well.
One of the biggest perks of staying on site, especially at one of the three flagship resorts, is the Universal Unlimited Express Pass. So I'm kind of curious, I'm going to ask Donna first, because Donna, you went when the parks had been open like 2 months, and then Anna went over Labor Day weekend. So what was your experience, Donna? Did you feel like the Express Pass was needed when you were there?
It was still in effect, except for on the Hagrid ride. And I think Spider-Man too. I can't remember, but there were two other rides, but we didn't end up riding them. But the big one was Hagrid. It worked. You got through the lines very quickly. It was, they did social distancing. So like on the Shrek ride, so where they had that like holding area where they kind of had the introduction and then they put you in the theater. They scrapped all that. They basically took you right into the theater and they had you spaced quite a bit. They eliminated some of those holding areas and some of that excess line maintenance, I guess. But other than that, I mean, it was just like, but the crowds were low, so you really didn't.
Yeah. So did
really
you feel like
anyway?
Did you need the Express Pass? I mean, would you have been in line just as long in the standby?
Well, so I think the longest one we did was Hagrid's, which didn't have it. And I think it was 20, 25 minutes because we got there right as they opened.
It's a dream.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, 70 minutes, 100 minutes, you know, and then they went to the virtual line and then it went away altogether and you just couldn't ride it that day. The rest of them, 15 to 20 minutes tops. Most of them were 5 to 10. It's basically on a busy day at Universal, the Express Pass was the same time that you would have gone the regular line in August. The regular line would have taken you about 20 or 30 minutes, and the Express line took you, if it was a normal day, then the Express line was, it was like being in an Express line on a busy day.
The standby line was like being in an Express line.
Correct.
Okay. So Anna, you went Labor Day weekend, which we heard had record crowds. The park hit capacity, right? So tell us about your experience there.
It did, yes. It was very crowded. Mm. And the Express Pass was much needed. And we were so thankful that we had it. Because we got to do a lot. I mean, we did pretty much everything that we wanted to do. I don't know that we would have if we had to stand in the standby lines. The crowds were a little overwhelming when we were navigating through the parks. But once we got in line for stuff, they had everything marked off and everybody was pretty good about staying on the markers, the socially distanced markers and all of that. So, we definitely needed the Express Pass though for that weekend because it was very busy.
So let's talk about that because you're an experienced theme park goer. Mm-hmm. So you say very busy compared to your visits to the theme parks in September and previous years. I mean, did you feel like, wow, this is like what I'm used to seeing? Or was it just busy in the sense of, wow, I'm really paranoid because I don't want to touch anybody and, you know, people are really close to me.
I had moments of feeling a little paranoid because there was so many people and trying to navigate through crowds. It was really almost impossible to distance yourself from people. So we really just made sure we kept our masks on and kept our hands clean and tried not to come in actual physical contact with people. but yeah, it was really crowded.
It sounds like they weren't limiting capacity at all on Labor Day weekend.
I'm not sure what their max capacity, like what percentage they're running their parks right now. Because when they say max capacity, I mean, I'm assuming that's
really hard
not,
to know what that is. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like,
I've looked for this park and other parks and there is nowhere online where you can find out what the percentage is.
Well, and are they turning down business now? You know, like if people are actually wanting to book, are they saying, oh no, we're at capacity. We can't booking, you know, I don't know. I would like to think so.
Do you know if you had any privileges because you were an on-site guest? Like, do you have any knowledge? You were in the park anyway, so I don't know if you know that, but do you know if at any point they were only letting in on-site guests?
That was what we were told, because a couple of times it was so hot, we were in back to the resort for a brief period to jump in the pool, just kind of freshen up a little bit. And when we go back, we took the water taxi when we went back, and the captain on the water taxi was telling us it's at capacity and telling us there was a special line for resort guests. Now, I didn't see special lines. We just kind of got there, got in a line and had no issue getting back in at any time. But we were told by the captain of the person driving the water taxi, that there was a special line for resort guests to.
It got a little hairy the weekend. So, like
Donna,
Anna was
did you
saying,
feel safe? Did you feel like you were in a safe place?
Lines were actually approaching like 45 minutes and everything. But during the week, it was awesome. I had no problems getting into restaurants, no problems getting into the shops. It wasn't wall to wall people, elbow to elbow. So it was good.
Anna, would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So even with all the people, you felt like you were well taken care of?
Yeah, we actually did. Yes.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So
you're doing a good job.
Yeah, talk about sort of the theme park experience. I mean, again, there's normal theme park days that we've all been used to. Did you feel like this was a better experience, a worse experience, the same experience? Like, how would you describe your trip, you know, to Was this a trip that you feel like a first timer to Universal would have been happy on? Donna, I'll start with you.
Yes. I only had basically two complaints, but my biggest good thing was the crowds. They were just almost non-existent. But my two biggest rants were at Volcano Bay that we were told to wear our masks. And of course, when people are soaking wet, they weren't just walking around. They weren't wearing their masks and they weren't really enforcing it. So that one, we did feel a little iffy. But we were responsible people and wore our masks, even though they were soaking wet and reeking of chlorine. And the other thing is that going to the dining places, we save cash and we take lots of cash, and that's how we pay for our meals while we're there. And they really didn't want to handle cash. It made it very difficult. They wanted you to order everything on the app, send it to the kitchen, pay for it by credit card. And we're like, we have cash. So that was the only thing that was very difficult.
Yeah, trying to eliminate
a gift card. Yeah. Would you have been able to buy a gift card there at that point to try and make that easier? Or is that not an option at Universal?
Well, it's still the same thing. It's basically they wanted a card, and they wanted actually part of the app. You have to put it on file.
So you can't use a gift card.
Use a gift card. No, they wanted something on file. Or at the shops, though, you could actually put it on your room.
But that's still on a card.
Their dining locations
weren't. Yeah.
Well, but the dining locations didn't do that.
Interesting.
And the menus, of course, you know, if I wasn't wearing my glasses, I couldn't read them. And so they could have laminated the menus and actually stuck them to the tables so that it looks
cleaned up. Yeah.
Because you're not sitting there looking at this big board with all the menu items. You're looking, they seat you at a table and they say, okay, what do you want? Use the app, order online. You know, it was just not very conducive to somebody who's old school like me.
Yeah.
I would have had issues with that too, because with my contacts on, I can barely see my cell phone as it is. So I have to hold it
Oh, you need some peepers.
I am the queen of Grubhub now. I can read any menu online on my phone. So Anna, did you have similar experiences? What are your thoughts there?
With just
your overall your theme park experience, like compared to your previous visits. And
yes, I don't know that I would go over Labor Day again. I think it was rather busy, a little too busy for me. I don't know that I would go over that holiday weekend again. That's just my personal preference. I think during, like Donna said, on the weekends, it's a little busier. I think I would probably try to do more during the week.
Mm-hmm. Interestingly, historically, Labor Day weekend has not been super crowded. It's usually a weekend that is not very crowded. And I think that virtual school has a lot to do with that. I think since people don't have to actually show up at school, because normally Labor Day weekend for a holiday weekend is not crowded at all, because even the Florida kids are going back to school and nobody's going to the theme park, right?
Well, I've done other theme parks over Labor Day before, and I didn't feel quite as, and yes, and I agree. And that's one of the reasons we drove, because our kids are doing remote and they were able to do school in the car. Mm-hmm. So that was one of the reasons, you know, we were okay with driving. Now I did notice, Donna, in what she was saying about the restaurants, some of them, not all of them, but some of them were handing out paper menus, like just printed off.
Like take it and throw it away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't love all the disposable stuff. Yeah, you know, I feel like that's going to be something we're going to have to reprogram people about again. You know?
It's sort of a difficult argument, because like Donna said, some people can't read the really small menu.
I think if you have a laminated menu, you can wipe it down. You can spray it with the stuff. You can clean it. You know, I feel like that's as good as a paper one you can throw away, you know?
I did notice, I mean, all the straws were paper straws. And we even noticed, actually, my husband's the one that noticed it. One of the places where we were dining, we had plastic forks, but it had a symbol on it. It made it looked like it was like a biodegradable plastic fork.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. I was happy to see that.
If you put it into a bin that doesn't have a plastic back. Because it's biodegradable, it needs sunshine, air.
Or you could just eat at Mythos every night, and then you have real silverware and real plates
and real food. Sorry, my foodie came out a little bit with claws. So before we get too far away from the point you just made about Labor Day weekend being uncharacteristically crowded, where it typically isn't, and that's normally like a, you know, even at some of the other parks, like on the West Coast, and it's always been a weekend where people think it's going to be crowded, but it's not, and now it is. I was kind of going over this with someone else the other day. I think that we're going to see, because of COVID, I think we're going to see a big shift in when these parks are going to be busy. I will be very surprised if Christmas week this year is as bad as it's been ever before, because of all the things that are being cut and all the things that are being changed. I think we're going to see a shift, and maybe the beginning of December, which was typically the lesser crowded time, might be the more traveled time. I'm really curious to see how that plays out this year. And I was wondering what your guys' thoughts were on this, because that's,
I mean, even like sports, you know, football is now happening in most of the country in the spring. They're going to do a spring season instead of a fall season. Well, what does that do to Pop Warner? What does that do to the cheer competitions? What does that do to any of that stuff that normally, I don't know that we can predict anything right now. So I don't know. I mean, if you had said to me, I'm going Labor Day weekend, well, you did say to me, I'm going Labor Day weekend, I would have never thought to say, oh, it's going to be really crowded. But then the news starts coming out. It's like, oh, it's really crowded and the parks are reaching capacity. It's like, what?
It's bizarre world.
Yeah. But also, it's one of the few places you can go right now. Like, so many places are not open. So it makes me wonder, too, if people are just going there because they can. Like, it's
a little place they can. People have been hearing that it's not crowded right now. So it's like, oh, I want to go. That's why my husband's coming to Disney in October with me. And he's not happy hearing that the crowds are getting a little bit more.
Yeah. And that's me too, because so Anna comes back and 2 weeks later, which is through this coming weekend from when we're recording, I'm going to Walt Disney World. And I'm like, wait, when Donna went, it wasn't crowded. I don't want it to be crowded. I don't want that.
It's gonna be
fun. I'm curious. Yeah. So when you're talking to your clients about, you know, I want to go to Universal Studios right now, do you have any reservations? What do you say to them?
My only reservations was Volcano Bay. That was it.
Well, Anna, I think you had a different experience at Volcano Bay, didn't you?
We enjoy it. Now, we were told when we got there that they are not requiring masks be worn there unless you're ordering food. Because I wasn't sure what the protocol was there. So we wore masks in, we got our spot, we got settled, and I found an employee there and I said, hey, you know, what do we need? You know, if we're not physically in the water, do we need to have these on? What are the rules and regulations here? And I was told they are not mandatory to be worn when you're walking around. They said they are recommended, but not mandatory. They said the only time that they are mandatory is if you go to any of the dining locations, snack carts, anything to order food, they require you have a mask on.
So were they doing social distancing practices there? What was it different at Volcano Bay?
They were doing them in the lines for any of the water slides, lazy rivers, anything like that. They had them marked off, you know, to keep each family separated. And it was kind of like in the other theme parks where on the pathways, you know, walking around to various parts of the park, it would get a little crowded. But at the dining locations and the rides, and they kept everybody pretty spaced out.
I agree.
I was about to say, Donna is nodding so for the audience at home.
it was the walkways.
Yeah, mainly. The walkways were crowded.
And if it was any kind of a thrill ride, they basically said, do not wear your mask at all. Because those lifeguards are watching your face to see if you need help. And so they need to see your face in order to do that.
So this is a curiosity question. You know, obviously people are wondering if they're going to be safe if they go to these parks. And one of the big issues in the country is, you know, mask people versus no mask people. So did you witness any, you know, I've gone to my local restaurant and witnessed altercations, people who don't want to wear masks, like, you know, the local Wegmans. So did you see any of that? Okay.
Yeah. And anytime, like Donna said, there were employees that were telling people if it was not worn properly. I mean, it was like microphones, like, you know, so they could be heard. Fix your mask over the nose. And everybody complied, and there was no argument.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
That poor, like, 17-year-old kid at, what was it, Hershey Park, or was it Sesame Place?
Sesame Place got attacked. Yeah.
Well, you could get kicked out of the parks, and if you're bad enough and mean enough and physical enough, they can ban you for life.
Yeah. And that is a thing. Like, that can happen. So did either of you see the new Bourne show?
No, we went to go see it, and it was sold out. Literally, we were the next ones in line, and it was sold out, that show.
Because I think the performers, based on what I've seen on video, are wearing masks in that, the live performers. And that's one of those, like, if professional stunt people who are, like, jumping off of buildings and, like, jumping through fire hoops and stuff can wear a mask, you can probably wear a mask as well.
I will tell you something interesting was when you ride Hogwarts, you are, part of their speech is keep your mask on your face. And they'll point and say, you're under surveillance. And they tell you that you're being watched. My daughter and I went to ride Escape from Gringotts for like the 15th time. And my family was obsessed with that ride. And we wanted to ride up front. And they stuck us in the third row back because they're skipping rows. And they put us in the third row back. And I asked the guy, I said, the front row's empty. Can we sit in the front row? And he said, no. He said, somebody just rode through not wearing their mask, and so we have to sanitize it. I said, okay.
So just for future reference, so Anna, the back row is the best on that ride.
We did the back row, and it was awesome. That was bad.
And also, for future reference, riding Gringotts 15 times is usually impossible. So,
you might tell us something like 6 or 7 times, but
that's still a
12-year-old was obsessed with Express Pass. We used our Express Pass.
So, and were things like the wand games and everything, was Ollivander's happening? Because Ollivander's is a, like, let's everybody get into one. So they just limited the space and said,
I'll tell you how they're doing it. We walked up and said, our daughter wants a wand. And they said, does she want to just come in and pick one? Or does she want the wand experience? And I said, well, explain to her both what they are, and I'll let her choose. So what they're doing is, she chose just to go in, and you're paired with someone, your own personal little person. And they talk about all the wands and they help you pick it. If you want to do the wand experience where the wand picks you, they have a person standing outside with a clipboard, and you're assigned a return time. And so you come back and do the wand experience.
That is better. Oh. That is an improvement.
That was really cool. My daughter chose not to do it. She just said, I want my wand right now. So that's what we did.
She's like, I know the one I want.
I'm just saying, she made a poor choice, because the ability to have the wand select you with nobody else in there, that's the bomb diggity right there. That's amazing.
She wanted to just sift through all the wands, and she picked Snape.
So Donna, did you do any of the shows or like the wand experience or anything like that?
No, my kids like to ride rides, and my daughter is the biggest thrill. She was so excited because last time we went 2 years ago, she couldn't ride the Hulk ride.
She was too short.
She was too short, so we rode the pterodactyls. Well, this year she wanted to ride the pterodactyls, and of course she's too tall now, so she got to ride the Hulk, and she rode it like 4 times.
Wow. That ride is so intense.
So yeah, I mean, my kids are all about the roller coasters. Yeah.
That was our favorite coaster ever.
Did they love the Hagrid coaster?
I did. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
The kids didn't like it?
Alex was complaining because she had to be in the sidecar. Nice.
That's like riding with Sandy. That's pretty much how it goes.
She liked the ride. She just didn't. She wanted to be riding the motor.
Yeah. So Donna, how many times did you ride Hagrid's?
Just once, because we signed up, but we tried to do the virtual line, but we put one person instead of 4 people. Oh. And then we went to go back and put it in that was 4, and they're like, sorry, you can't do it. So the next day when we got there, basically we made a beeline for it, and we still had like almost a 30-minute wait.
So you guys said that when you were both there, they were doing the Bourne show. Were they doing any other shows? Because I know other parks are not doing any shows.
They did parades.
So parades. So actual timed parades where you could...
Yeah, they did. I remember walking past and they did the one with the kids with Dora and Diego and the Secret Life of Pets on the
float. Oh my God, that's the cutest float ever. It is the Secret Life of Pets one.
So they had that, and then they had Marilyn sitting on the back of a convertible and was kind of going around the park there.
Were they doing like the monster makeup show?
I don't think so. No, I went by there and it was closed. It's a mad scientist kind of show. I didn't see that it was open.
So Anna, how many times did you do Hagrid's?
Twice.
2 different days or 1 day?
2 different days. We beelined like Donna did. We just beelined one morning because we couldn't get a virtual time. They were all gone the day before. So the next day we went early, and then actually the day that we did Volcano Bay, we left there and zipped back and threw on some clothes. And when we were in the park, we saw that it was only a 40-minute wait, and we didn't even wait that long.
Okay, so you never did the virtual then. You only did the standby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the virtual was full, you couldn't even wait standby.
No,
they wouldn't let you. Mm-mm.
Well, yeah, we did it twice. It was amazing.
So good, yeah.
So overall, I'm hearing positive theme park experience. Is that correct? Please correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes. Yeah?
Yes.
You're correct.
Mm-hmm. So you would go back, definitely, in this COVID-19 time. And if money were no object, then yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, good. Well, that bodes well for my vacation, and that's all I care about. So that's...
Well, it is all about you.
It is. So that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you, Anna, for sharing your experience. And of course, thank you, Donna. But Donna's here all the time. Anna is not. So we'll give a special thank you. Round of applause to Anna. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.